Okay. I want to talk about greatest crimes, like, you know, unfortunately, cable television is filled with this, and the greatest crimes. The worst crime, top two crimes in Klal Yisrael history is, unfortunately, this week, is the Chet HaEgel. One of the most beautiful, sensitive things that we do as a nation is, if you notice, there are two parashios that we don't lay in during the week up until Sheni. We makacha. This week, if you notice, that the Aliyah of the Kohen and Levi is extremely long. Why is that? So Chazal or Misakein, not Chazal, but when we're Misakein, who gets what Aliyah? We said we want specifically a Kohen or Levi to get this Aliyah. We don't want somebody from Shevet Yisrael, from the Shvatim Yisrael, to get this Aliyah. Why? Because Kohen and Levi, they didn't participate in the Chet HaEgel. So it's not an embarrassment for them to get the Aliyah. But for us, for a regular member of Klal Yisrael, it will be an embarrassment to get the Chet HaEgel, because the Isser, the Chet, still resonates and reverberates within each and every one of us. It hasn't left us. And that's the Chet HaEgel. But the question that's a very basic and obvious question is, how could they do it? Not me and you, who are so far away from Maimed Har Sinai and Kriyas Yamsuf, but this generation, if you think about it, they just came out of Yamsuf, the Dor Dea, they saw Ra Shivcha Layam Mashaloi Ra Yecheskel Ben Buzi, that the Shivcha saw on the, when they crossed Yamsuf, what the Yecheskel Ben Buzi, the, one of the great Nevi'im, wasn't able to conjure up. And then we had Maimed Har Sinai, we saw the Kailas, we saw things that were unimaginable. It was such a tremendous connection with the Borei Olam. So how could this generation veer from the path and all of a sudden worship this Chet HaEgel? This is the question that pains each and every one of us. And the Ramban shares a beautiful answer, which is Malamed Schus on some level on Klal Yisrael. So he says, Chalila to say that that generation was kaifer, they denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They couldn't possibly have done that, because here they were underneath, you know, the auspices of HaKadosh Baruch Hu 40 days earlier. The Chatz V'Shalom weren't kaifer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they had thought, as everybody hasn't told us, that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what? We all, what should they have done if they thought Moshe Rabbeinu died? They should have sat Shiva, they should have given Hespedim. You know, that's what we do when Gedolim die. You know, you're going to have, you know, set aside some time because they're going to be Hespedim. Hopefully you'll understand they won't be in Yiddish. So when Moshe Rabbeinu died, that's what they should have done. But what were they looking for? They were looking for a manig. They were looking for an intermediary that was going to enable them to show them the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it came for the Aseres HaDibros, Lamashal, the first two Dibros they heard from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Neshamas left the Guf. After that, they couldn't handle it anymore. It was too intense. But who was the one who was showing them what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shared? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu articulates and spells out the vision for where Klal Yisrael should be. And Moshe was gone. So Klal Yisrael gets together, and they pick Lachain Bachru, the Ramban writes, Bachru Yisrael is Dmus HaShor. They pick the vision of a shore, of an ox, Shemekasher Beinom LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will connect them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Dmus HaAdam that Moshe Rabbeinu had was gone. So they tried to conjure it up again, and they created this Egel Azov. So then you ask yourself, okay, if that's the case, then what's so bad about what they did? They had their heart in the right place. They wanted this intermediary for somebody, for them to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they created this Egel Azov. Gevaldik. I understand not, but to call it one of the worst events of all time, you would put the Chet HaEgel and the Meraglim, you know, top two. What's so bad? So the Ramban explains, what's the whole notion, what's the whole vision, what's the whole goal of our job in this world? And he doesn't say this, but I hate to say it. The road to Gehenna is paved with good intentions. Shkoich, they had good intentions. It's not the Avodah. What is the Avodah? The Avodah is to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and to fulfill his Ratzon. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us on this Egel? Azichir Nisht. Vaday no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, Ten Commandments, v'chulu v'chulu. There was no mention of creating an Egel as an intermediary. who are you to determine what we think? I was talking to somebody this morning. I said, when humans think, we have to recognize we're allowed to have thoughts. We're born with Tzelem Elokim. But we see things through such a small lens, and for us to give a vision of what's supposed to happen is arrogant. There's a certain arrogance when we think that we know how the ending is. Next week's parsha is going to be Vayakel. Very often in the creation of the Tzivoy, it's going to constantly use the refrain, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. The Beis Halevi points out that the reason why it keeps saying Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe is emphasizing this Nakuda. The Mishkan is not great because of the edifice and the distances between the various things that a human could have thought up with his head. It's only great because Hashem articulated his vision to Bezalel, to Eliyahu, to Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly how he wanted it, and then they fulfilled the will of God. The mistake that we're always making is we're trying our best to come up with what we think is our way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not that. One of my stories that I had in my life is something I had forgotten. I was reminded a number of years ago. My son turned, he was an eighth grader, we were looking for high school for him, and went to a high school up in Muncie. So this second part of the story already comes up 7 years ago, 8 years ago. We looked at a high school in Muncie, and the way that these yeshivas have, they have the open house, but it's like it's an open house where you go to 42 teachers. The Rosh Yeshiva speaks, and behind them there's a dais of all the Rebbeim. And the Rosh Yeshiva finishes, you know, then there's some mingling and you go home. It's not exactly high tech. There's no, like, you know, videos. It's like, this is what we do with, and your kids are going to be great. There's Masmata Rabba. But there was a guy on the dais that looked very familiar. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, why does he look familiar? And I couldn't figure it out. Okay. I went back to listening to the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva finishes, and the guy who looked on stage, one of the Rebbeim, made a mad dash to me. Well, Rebbe, you remember who I am? And I said, I remember. I said, yeah, I remember. Anyway, where did I know him from? 10 years earlier than that, 10 years, no, even more, whatever it was 17 years earlier than that, he was in my group in camp, in my learning group in camp. And he told me, he looks at me, he goes, you changed my life. Now, he was in my learning group in camp, but he was a 17-year-old guy becoming a senior. What did I do? I said, I looked at him like, what happened? What did I do to change your life? Like, I told you how to take a jump shot? Like, what was camp? You know, like, the learning groups aren't so intense. He said, you don't remember. We used to have, this camp, they used to have a day where they would get together with a non-denominational chevra, and they would discuss some of their hashkafas. Okay. Now, I hate to say this, but the 17-year-old modern Orthodox kids, they weren't licked into hashkafas, so they were very mushba sometimes from these other chevra. So I walked into Shir that one morning, it was the day after this event, and they were talking how they were in the spoil, how they couldn't believe how beautiful it was that some of the chevra from the non-denominational chevra, they feel they have a connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Why? Because on Shabbos, they get together, they sing in a musical way, and they feel that they're connecting with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what he told me. And I said to him, and I walked in, I heard this, and I said, guys, you got to sit, I got to share with you something. And I told them, that's not what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. They're not serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're serving themselves. I quoted a Chazal, he told me, that Gemara in Kiddushin Dav Lamed says, Godol b'tzuv v'yosa mish'enu b'tzuv v'yosa. Greater is the one who does something who's commanded than one who's not somebody who's commanded. Why is somebody who's commanded greater than somebody who's not commanded? So there are numerous approaches, but the Maral says that if you do something because you're commanded, you're not doing it because I want, you're doing it because he wants. If you're doing it when you're not commanded, you're doing it because I want. I want, there's no connection with the he. But Gadol Mitzuva V'yosef, you're doing it because you're commanded, you're doing it because he wants. Now that, my friends, is a way to make a connection. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu is asking you to do something, and then you step up to the plate, you're doing it now because a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. That's the greatest thing. I said, these people in the camp, they're not connecting to Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're connecting themselves and their own vision of what Kaddish Baruch Hu is. So apparently I said that. He came to me and goes, Rebbe, you changed my life. And postscript to the story, so the next day, he taught juniors in this particular high school. He shared that story with the juniors, I guess because he wanted to tell them that. And one guy was in that class who was friends with my older son, who was 3 years older than the eighth grader, and he said, Daddy, the guy spoke about you in class. Oh, you know, once in a while you do something nice. But the vision here is Gadol Metzuvah. The Chet HaEgel was Klal Yisrael yearning, aspirations, which is great, but they fulfilled their own aspirations. They didn't fulfill the aspirations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a disaster. And this is we have alternate forms of religion. Because instead of fulfilling your HaKadosh Baruch Hu and following the Mesorah that's been established, you're creating your own Mesorah. And that is very dangerous. As we start heading towards Purim, I would say that Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah are always back to back. Why is that? So I thought a number of years ago the following, which may be Chiddush, I don't know. But Parshas Zohar happens because of Amalek. Amalek happens because Shaul makes a rationalization and doesn't kill all of Amalek. How could it be that God would... So Shaul thinks he's doing the right thing. He's doing an act of kindness by leaving the king alive. And Hashem says, what are you doing? Right? He says to him, I don't want what you want. I told you what to do and you didn't do it. And Shaul gets removed from the kingdom for that. What's the kapara for that? Parashas Parah. Because what is Parashas Parah all about? I don't understand. I have no idea what I'm doing. The only reason why anybody does the Parah Aduma, which is the atonement for the Chet HaEgel on some levels, is because Hashem said it. Not because I have any ideas of what it's all about. The great ideas of the Chet HaEgel is they were aspirational. They were inspired. They wanted, they yearned. But they were off the D because they weren't following the Ratzon Hashem, they were following their own Ratzon. It should be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we become Parah Aduma Jews. That we do it not because we understand the reasons, but because we do, we want to connect and we will listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zay Gazun Tud Shtark. Have a Gevaltige Shabbos.